Yeah, one of the things that I can't get away from is Dad is the prime mover, our Heavenly Father. And when you look at some of the things that come up in His Word, He always has the right answer for every situation. You know, go to Genesis chapter 3. So, again, always when we go to the Word, we see the greatness of God Almighty that we have, that we heard in manifestations of privilege upon Him, Abba. It's interesting, verse 8, chapter 3. And they heard, and that's Adam and Eve, the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. You know, it's a tremendous thing when you look at that first usage of afraid, because here's a man that had the most intimate relationship with the Lord God, and now he's hiding from him, all because of the disobedience. But again, God being who God is and doing some investigative work, he asked a few questions. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat, and beguiled the seed. Then the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. God went right to the source. He didn't pound Adam. He didn't criticize. He didn't beat him up. He gave him a redeemer. The prime mover. And we see that all through the Word, how God just continually moves on our behalf. But I just want to look at it, these records that kind of blessed my heart because of the sharing, you know, on the whole that Pete did in the piece. Go to Galatians 4. We're going to jump a couple thousand years here. Which we get to do because we have God's Word.
Did you say chapter 4?
Galatians. Just before Ephesians. In verse 4, in chapter 4, God says, But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption or the sonship, the spirit of sonship. And because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So when that fullness of time came, bada bang, you know, that promise in Genesis 3:15 came to pass, and the Messiah came, the Redeemer came. You know, and then he was then he died, paid the price, the resurrection. You know, and go to Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 10 says that in the dispensation or the administration of that fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even unto Him. See, that fullness of time again is going to come. Their first hope, their first thing that they looked to was the coming of the Messiah. God had promised. Then He came. Like I said, we skipped a few thousand years. In that fullness of time, God sent His Son. There's another fullness of time, that administration, when He's going to send Him again. When? I don't know. But that's our hope. And He's always given that. And if He's always given man. Go to Acts chapter 1. You know, He's just so loving, so tender, so into taking care of us. You know, Pete was sharing some of this stuff, and it just amazes me. We'll pick it up in verse 9. This is after he explained all this stuff to him. He said, "And when he had spoken, when Christ had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven.'" Again, there's the Father. You know, prime time. Right on the spot. The right answer at the right time for their hearts. Hey, why are you looking up? That same, he's coming back. He's coming back. So we have that hope, right? Everybody has that hope. He's coming back in our day and time. Why does he keep telling us that? Because it's that important to anchor our hearts in. Why? Because anything else, you're going to be thinking about everything else. Instead of, wow, he's coming back. Bow my neck. Suck it up. Count it joy. You know, everything that Daddy talks to. We'll read some of those records. Ephesians 2. We'll pick it up in verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship." Whose workmanship? God's. "Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world or this age." I'm going to tell you what a horrible place to be. You know? So when we share the word to a world that has no hope, that are without God, and they think they have it all. But there's those sheep out there. There's those wonderful hearts out there that God wants to bring home. That's who we speak. That's who we look for. That's who we pray for. Why? Because we have the answers. Right? He said that in manifestations. You know, we are his loved children. We are his grace. We are his mercy in manifestation. We're the ones that speak the word. We're the ones that manifest the Christ. We're the ones that say, "Hey, we got a different story here. You guys have no hope. No wonder your life is just so boring." But boy, hope. He's coming back. That gives you something to hang on to, right? Sure it does. It's some wonderful stuff. Anyways, Pete shared it. Go to 1 Thessalonians. I got to go there. Pete shared that. I get goosebumps when he was sharing it. Because it's the truth. And this is what I'm going to tell you right now. Outside of Christ and you, the hope, the adversary is going to talk you out of it. That's all he cares about. You know, he wants it. I mean, he's after the integrity of God's word. But when it comes to the believer, he can get you off the hope. He's going to get you into the world. Once you're into the world, you're going to conform to the world. He's great at playing cards. But God says this. That's where we anchor. See? The anchor is, you know, an anchor. We're going to read that. An anchor on a ship keeps that ship from moving away from where it's supposed to stay. It might drift a little bit, but it stays put. You see? Yeah. It's pretty cool the way God designed that. But anyway. Verse 13 in Thessalonians 4. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have what? No hope." You see, it's so crucial. I know this is not a teaching on the hope, it's just a package that God gave us. And the hope is a big part of that package. Why? Because he took care of Adam, he took care of the apostles, and then we're going to read, he took care of us because we have that hope. It's not going anywhere. So our future is as secure and more secure than the ground beneath our feet. Because this second earth is going to poof. But we're not. see. With others that have no hope. For if we believe, and I say, since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you, and here it comes, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent him which are asleep. See, whose word? Well, there you have it. Man's word or the word of the Lord? There's a choice, right? There's only two choices. Boy, it's been a while since I shared that, but it still comes down to only two choices. The highway or God's way. Always comes down to two choices. No more, no less. It doesn't get confusing, doesn't get crazy. There's only two choices for us to make. And again, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that which are alive and remain unto you, the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall absolutely descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, or will rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with him, with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Why not? He's coming back. You know, it's not a cliche. It's the truth by the word of the Lord. He himself is coming back to gather us together. And it's going to happen. How do I know that? Because it happened in the first time. God said, I'm going to send a Redeemer. And when that fullness of time came, God sent him. And when that fullness of time comes again, guess what? He's going to send him. And we're going to... That's where we get our new bodies. We're going to get taken care of. Bada bing. Go to Hebrews. Always remember that God's word is truth. And you know, that's the truth that sets you free. And it's the truth that sets you free concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what's been accomplished. You see? So that truth of his return is absolute. Because it's the word of the Lord. And that's and that's what wants the adversary or the world's design by him wants to tarnish that, make it fade, make it just not be truthful. Because you don't see it. Well, that's why it's the hope. You can't believe for it. You just wait for it. Why? Because that's what Daddy says to do. Chapter 6, Hebrews. Okay. Stick. Pick it up in 17. Wherein God willing more abundantly, there's that abundance of God, that God of abundance, to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, that means unchangeable, confirmed by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, so it's the truth, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether or where the forerunner, that's our Christ, is for us entered. Even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And I shared that the forerunner was a job. They would hire, you know, if I had money and I had a chariot, I would hire Kenny and he would clear the path for me. That's what Jesus Christ did. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, the Son of the Almighty God went out and he cleared the road for us. He swept it all away so when we went to our Heavenly Father, nothing stops us. Not even the tiniest little pebble to cause us to stumble. Why? Because that's how gracious, how great, how loving, how wonderful, how powerful our Lord and Father, our God and Father is. And the Lord Jesus Christ just obeyed and did, and here we go. There we are. Everything's sealed. 1 Peter. But it's impossible for God to lie. So we have this hope that we hold fast, too, because it's an anchor. It doesn't let us drift. We don't get caught up in the things of the world. You know why? Because it's a lie. The truth is he's coming back. And our hearts are the big picture. See, the big picture is God's got kids out there. That's who we speak the word to. Just keep praying for them. 1 Peter. Chapter 1. Verse 2 says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, there's that God of abundance, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's why it's a lively hope. Jesus Christ is not dead. You know, everybody's got a cross. It's just a symbol of death. God got him up. He got him up and sealed us with that Holy Spirit of promise. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. And that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for who? You. And who are kept by the power of God. That's who we are. Through believing unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. See, we have that hope. Our future is absolutely secure. Right? That's what it's saying. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. And it's not going to fade away. So that's pretty solid stuff to anchor your heart into. Because he's coming back. See, the hope is that it's our life eternal. That's a lot. So there's a lot there. Right? But he still gives us that. You know. So when I think about that, when I anchor my heart in, go to Lamentations. Now there's some verses I just love to share, so I'm going to share them. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Solomon. Jeremiah. Sticking. There it is. Chapter 3. Verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions, what? They fail not. He's faithful. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. See, he's the one that takes care of me. He's the one that has set that future for me. You know? They knew that. They set their heart on that. See, their hope was the coming one. Ours is to return. Not because of any other reason than we get taken out of here. We get our full redemption. We've already been redeemed. You get it? It's not about how much you do or don't do. It's not about what you might get done or don't get done. That's wrong thinking. Absolute wrong thinking. What did Christ do? Now that's right thinking. You see? And that's where it always comes down to. Because see, that's the hope. He's coming back. Have you been redeemed? Have you been justified? Can anything be laid to your charge? Then why do you lay charges against yourself every day? Interesting, isn't it?
Yes,
it is. Because your mind's open to the things of the world instead of looking at the hope, looking at your Christ. That's what I meant earlier. It'll get in there. Because you know why? Everybody wants to beat up the old man. But you're not old anymore. You're new. You're a new creation. So God wants you to think those new things. not the old things. So when you start condemning yourself, judging yourself, what are you thinking? Right? Christ in you, right? Remember the clap? Christ in you, Christ in you. Well, say that to yourself, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Man, our future is ironclad, sealed shut by that Holy Spirit in us. You know, nothing can separate us from that love of God. I love this. It says, therefore, I will hope in Him. Verse 25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. He's good unto them that wait for Him. To the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the deliverance or the salvation of the Lord. It's a good thing. Why? Because He's good to them that wait on Him. You understand? He's just a great, wonderful God who just happens to be our Abba. Why? Because He made it that way. Daddy, you know, I get such a trip out of this stuff. There's just so many other records to go to. I'm going to wrap it up. Go to Isaiah 41. You know, I think of those records that I love to share on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, read what God had them write about Nebuchadnezzar. He says, no God can deliver after this sort. No God. And then the one with Daniel in chapter 6. You know, Darius writes down, you know, He's a God that rescues. He's a God that delivers. He's a God that worketh miracles, signs, and wonders upon in heaven and on earth. To deliver who? His people. He delivered if He delivered Daniel, would He not do any less for you, His son, His daughter? Oh my! I love those records because it just shows the greatness of who God is. And He tied that all into the Christ. Nothing can separate us with the love that's in Christ Jesus. You know? Isn't that awesome? See, and that's what the world wants us not to think. The simple truth that it's done. The only thing that's not done, He hasn't come back yet. You know? Okay, 41. I love this verse. Chapter 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I think Adam and how he was afraid. God says, don't be afraid. I'm right here. See? I'm right here. I'm the one that you need. 13 says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. You know, in Hebrews, He says, He'll never leave us nor forsake us, that we may boldly declare that He's our helper. You know, go to 1 Peter. You know, in Romans 8, it says, what shall we say to these things in chapter or 8, 30 and 31? You know, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Doesn't matter. You know, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Freely. Why? Because He's already given it to us in Christ. You're His kids. We're His kids. He doesn't need a reason to bless us. Except we're His kids. And what does fathers do? They bless their kids. Right? Sure they do. You know, we make it difficult. God doesn't. You know. Finish up in 1 Peter. Chapter 3. I love this. In verse 12 it says, For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. Of course, but the face of the Lord is against them to do evil. But, I mean, His ears are open. His eyes are there. You know, it's a quote from the old T, but it still works for us today. And it says, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of them which is good? And if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer or defense to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that's in you. And you do it with meekness and reverence. Why? Because you got the hope. Who are you? Who did what? All you did was confess with your mouth the Lord, you believe in your heart, God raised from the dead. Boom! There you are. Now you can tell people about the great hope that you have with meekness and reverence. But see, who's doing the sanctifying? There's a difference between sanctifying the Lord in your heart or sanctifying the world in your heart. What are you setting apart in your heart? Who chooses what goes there and stays there? You know, and listen, it says that we all are challenged in one way or another the same way. Okay? It's just, we're a family. Okay? But Jesus Christ is the head of that family. The Lord. He's the head of that body. And God is our dad. Well, he's the big brother. You know, might have said that wrong, but if you don't know what I meant, then take the class on walking in God's power. So, Father, thank you. Thank you that we can sanctify you in our hearts, that we have the truth of your word, that we have that tremendous hope that he's coming back for us himself. And until that day comes, Father, we can just stand fast, unmovable, with each other and with you and Christ in us. And that we can speak the truth of your word, that we can be those lights in this dark age. We can be your children of love, children of grace and mercy. We can extend that stuff, Father, because you tell us to put that on in our bowels and all that wonderful stuff. That we are who you say we are. We are going to have what you say we're going to have. And we can do what you say we can do because we're the sons and daughter of the Most High God. Thank you, Daddy, for that, for the privilege, the honor, and the absoluteness of it. It just still blows my mind. In Christ's name, amen.